Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Perus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today, I purposely do not have any guests. It's just me. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. The reason why I have no guests is because this will be my last day on the air until Wednesday, October 8th, I believe. I will be taking myself off the air because any time frame that I'm on the air, I've got to give that same amount of time to any opponent that I have in the run for mayor. So today is it. I will be signing up today at about 12:15, going down and to the city hall and signing the documents and paperwork, and I'll be officially in. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll be running for anything after this. I take these things one at a time, but running for being mayor has been very special, and this is how I looked at it. You know, I thought about it today, and you know, one person can make a difference. The position of the mayor of the city of Fairbanks, if you do it right, is very powerful. And I believe I've done it right. If you look at the buildings that have come down, the properties that have been cleaned up, the increase in the fire department for ambulance and rescue and fire, if you look at the increase in the public works for snow plowing and road maintenance, one person can make a difference. But at the same time, to do all that, you have to get along and work well with your city council. Because if you don't, it will not happen. But the position of the city of mayor, one person can make a difference, and I believe I've made a good difference. So I'm going to enjoy this last, 70 days plus minus of the election race. Work hard every day. And this is what I like about term limits for the mayor, for myself, for anyone. You have so many fixed days to get what you want to get done. And I like that. There's no days off. There's no not doing anything. Work hard, work at it, enjoy it. You only got so many days. There are no days off. So, anyway, that's my end rant about being mayor and running for mayor and enjoying it. So, God, I've been on this radio now 9 years. It's been a blast. You know, I know one day Perry Wally's going to come in and say, David, he's going to say, David, or whoever Perry sells his station conglomerate to, they're going to come in and say, David, we're making a change. And I'm going to look at him and say, I understand, and thank you for the wonderful time I've had here, and I so appreciate it. And that I have. And so today, you know, today's a Monday. It's usually business and economics. Tuesday's politics. Wednesday's a pioneer, local legend, longtime Fairbanks, and maybe a nefarious character, and Friday's all about Fairbanks. That's always been my themes for the day, but today I'm going to switch it around. I want to talk about Cap Lathrop, Austin E., which stood for Eugene Lathrop. The 75th anniversary of his passing was yesterday. He passed away when he was 70. What was he? 75 years ago today he passed away, and he was 85 when he passed away. And during the Territory of Alaska days, he was probably the single most powerful businessman and richest resident. Remember, remembered as a man of great drive, vision, and the capacity for work. Lathrop has been called an industrialist, the builder of modern Alaska, and Alaska's first homegrown millionaire. He was in the forefront of development in construction, transportation, communication, and mining. While an opponent of statehood, he built a substantial portion of the pre-World War II infrastructure that facilitated admission for the 49th state into the Union. That's Alaska. Over the course of a 50-year career in the Pacific Northwest, 45 of them in Alaska, Lathrop gradually extended his diverse interests to Cordova, Centrana, which is basically the Healy area, Fairbanks and Anchorage, and other parts of Alaska. He owned a chain of movie theaters throughout the territory, a coal mine at Centrana, a newspaper, and two radio stations in Anchorage and Fairbanks. He started KFAR Radio. He started it. I'm on the airwaves here because of Cap Lathrop, and so I wanted to do my last show for a while and explain about this wonderful gentleman. He has KENI out of Anchorage and the Kenai. He started that one too. My goodness. Anyway. Other enterprises included banks, major buildings, apartments, a model salmon cannery. In 1896, he came to Alaska as a business manager and skipper of the L.J. Perry and foresaw the opportunities for shipping and freighting during the Gold Rush on Cook Inlet immediately prior to the start of the Klondike Gold Rush. Cook Inlet used to be Cook's Inlet. I think they changed that around 1920. They took out the possessive apostrophe S, and this went Cook Inlet. Okay, we're going to skip his early years and go to his Seattle years. Lathrop recognized that the disastrous Seattle fire that destroyed the city's business district today's Pioneer Square presented him with an opportunity to participate in the rebuilding of the Puget Sound metropolis. While the fires were still smoldering, he left Ashland, which was a little bit farther south, and that was Wisconsin, not Oregon. And within 24 hours, he was on his way to Seattle. He wired his father for several teams of draft animals trained to haul Wisconsin lumber. He had already lined up enough jobs as a teamster, removing buildings and debris and clearing land for rebuilding. He pushed his business, with such energy. In a short time, he had 45 teams and became known as the boy contractor. So he was quite young. Listen, so if he was born in, 1865, and this is 1889, he's, 24 years old, and he's doing this. Okay. In the spring of 1883, miss a lot of stuff here. In the spring of 1893, a precipitous drop in gold reserves triggered a national economic depression. Since Seattle is still rebuilding from the fire of 1889 and depended heavily on Eastern Capital, the King County and Puget Sound region plunged into an economic depression that lasts 4 years until the start of the Klondike Gold Rush. So, yes, the Klondike Gold Rush got Seattle out of their economic depression. On May 5th, 1893, the New York stock market declined dramatically, setting off a nationwide panic, an economic depression that swept across the United States and then spread to the Pacific Northwest. The ensuing panic of 1893 hit Seattle hard. The jobless, including Lathrop, fled Seattle, Portland, and other urban areas to find work elsewhere. Lathrop's prosperity was ruined by the panic of 1893. Eastern investors and the Anacortes Railroad declared bankruptcy and never paid him for the work completed on the railroad line. He was forced to give up buildings and properties on Protection Island and move his family to a small house in Seattle. Lathrop, without work and debt, abandoned plans of marriage and even pawned a gold watch given to him by his fiancée to get money for food. Oh. So he had seen toughness in his life. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Caleb Gunderson of Valdez, and you did a little fishing today for the Kids Pink Salmon Derby. Tell me about your day.
Well, it was great. My mom caught one fish. I didn't catch any, though.
You didn't catch any?
No.
But your mom did?
Yeah. I think she caught two, actually.
Wow.
Or two fish.
What was she doing that you weren't doing?
Everything. I was just netting.
You were the netting?
Yeah.
Did you have a fun day anyway?
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about fishing?
Probably either casting and catching a fish or netting the fish.
You like the netting part?
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Where were you fishing today?
Down by the hatchery.
Over by Allison Point?
Yeah.
And what was it like over there? Tell me about the experience. How many kids? What were they doing?
Not a lot of kids, but most of the kids were by the coastline instead of out by the... Because I had waders on, so I walked out all the way out there.
You're hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, but so did the rest of my family that went actual fishing.
All right, just trying to get away from the crowds?
Yeah, the crowds. And we had to go left multiple times because the fish were just on the left instead of the right.
Do you fish a lot?
Not a frequent fisher, but we do fish sometimes.
All right. Do you plan on doing more fishing this season? Does this get you excited for more?
Yeah, it does.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 68. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 56. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 63. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm reminiscing about one of my favorite Fairbanksons here, Cap Lathrop. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. In 1895, a Lathrop embarked on a new adventure that marked the beginning of his Alaskan adventures. One day in the fall of 1895, Lathrop was in Seattle Waterfront Saloon, hoping for a free meal, when he met a longtime acquaintance, Captain Kelly, a salted maritime man. Kelly had learned that some of the prospectors of the new discovery on Turnagain Arm of Cook Inlet in Alaska. Both men became very interested not in prospecting, but in the opportunities that shipping and freighting could bring a gold rush, and considered obtaining a boat. Lathrop remembered the L.J. Perry, a two-masted steam schooner that had transported hay for his horses while he was working in Anacondas. Although he had no money, his credit was still good. Through a loan from A.E. Barton and the Fry Meat Packing House and John O'Neill, Lathrop bought the L.J. Perry. Captain Kelly signed on as skipper, O'Neill served as the chief engineer, and Lathrop, with no boating experience, became the purser and business manager. He would become captain after a while. The small vessel was placed into dry dock at Ballard over the winter to prepare for the rough going in the Arctic subarctic waters. On April 6, 1896, a year before the Klondike news of the Klondike gold strike reached Seattle, The L.J. Perry left Galbraith Dock with a cargo of supplies bound for Alaska, a commercial company in Kodiak. Their initial voyage to Kodiak led to years of steady success. In 1896, Lathrop and his partners freighted and traded extensively along the coast of southeastern Alaska and around the treacherous waters of Cook Inlet. The L.J. Perry had a shallow draft and was ideal for the areas on Turnagain Arm and the Cook Inlet, where two dangers for larger ships, which would unload cargo at Tyonek. Lathrop returned to Seattle in the winter of 1896 with sufficient financial resources to marry, but found that Maud Woodcock had married someone else. He persuaded his father to come to Alaska to open a store at Sunrise on Turnagain Arm. Lathrop obtained his master's mariner license in 1897, bought out his partners, becoming owner, business manager, and captain of the L.J. Perry for the next 4 years. It was this connection with the sea that won Lathrop the title of captain, and he has been since known as Cap. That's how he got his name, Cap. Although the news of the gold strike in the Klondike led many miners in Cook Inlet to stampede the new fields, Lathrop remained in south central Alaska. In 1898, he hauled supplies and horses for the Glenn Expedition. We've talked about that here. A small detachment of U.S. Army troops under the command of Captain Edward F. Glenn, later a major general, which had orders to probe the Chugach Mountains for routes to the Copper and Susitna Rivers and to seek the best way to the Yukon River. Valdez and Cold Bay, this section here. In 1901, Lathrop moved to Valdez with the assistance of San Francisco investors, organized a California-Alaska Mining and Development Company to prospect for copper in the Castina District. Copper was found but could not be profitably mined because of the lack of transportation facilities to move it to market. While wintering in Seattle that year, Lathrop met Mrs. Lillian McDowell, an attractive widow with a 14-year-old daughter, Cleo McDowell. They accompanied Lathrop back to Alaska on February 18, 1901, in the first wedding anniversary of the Valdez. Captain Austin Lathrop and Lillian were united in matrimony at the residence of the Reverend W.D. Crane. The couple traveled east, visiting Pan America Exposition in Buffalo, New York. On this trip, Lathrop convinced J.H. Costello, a wealthy Buffalo capitalist, to bankroll an oil project in Dry Bay and Cook Inlet. Lathrop family returned to Alaska, spending the winter of 1902 and 03 in Valdez. The Lathrop and Costello delivered several wills at Dry Bay, but the project was unsuccessful. God, he was an oil driller, too, along with a coal miner. The Lathrop family spent the spring of 1903 in Cold Bay, where Lathrop drilled unsuccessfully for oil. He took the first standard oil rig in the territory to prospect for oil and interest in Costello Oil Land Company. Let me repeat this. He took the first standard oil rig in the territory. Wow. So he was the first at that, too. He attempted to make a comfortable home for his wife and stepped on her in the small oil boom town, but the Alaska Peninsula did not suit the socially active Miss Cleo, who persuaded her mother to relocate to Seattle. He returned to Alaska Peninsula in the summers in 1904-1905 to drill near Lake Bechtcheroff without success. He finally returned to Valdez in late August. This time Lathrop had sold to L.J. Perry, became a teamster again with a contract to haul and lay ties for the new Copper Northwest Railroad in 1906. Then he moves into Cordova. Lathrop visited California in the winter of 1906 and 7, promoting copper mining on the Castina River, a tribute of the Copper River. Although there were promising fields, the project did not gather much traction. In 1908, he was a partner and then full owner in the Alaska Transfer Company, a freight business in Cordova, Alaska, which was developing the terminus for the Copper River and the Northwestern Railway. In February of 1910, he learned of his wife's death from a lingering illness in a house he had built for her where she had been provided with round-the-clock professional care. Lathrop gradually expanded his interest to become the most prominent businessman in Cordova. He started the Alaska Transfer Company and enjoyed a monopoly in the coal and transfer business. He followed the business practice of paying freight bills of his customers when hauling their merchandise from the dock to the stores, collecting both the dryage and the freight on monthly statement. He became a major stockholder and director in Sam Bloom's First National Bank of Cordova. He also represented the Olympia Brewing Company and Pacific Alaska Navigation Company. Other interests were movie theater, lumberyard, ice house, and fish saltery. In 1917, he built a large apartment house. So he was an owner in Ole Beer. Oh, boy. How much fun can a guy have? In 1911, Lathrop was elected as the mayor of Cordova. He served only one term, though he remained on the city council through 1914. The salient event of Lathrop's tenure as mayor was the Cordova Coal Party, or anti-conservation protest based on a Boston Tea Party against federal closure of Alaska coal lands to development, which required Alaskans to buy expensive Canadian coal. All right, Austin Lathrop. Several years earlier, President Theodore Roosevelt feared that Alaska's immense coal reserves would be used to benefit only a few corporations. He prohibited additional coal mining on public lands. Coal imported to Alaska cost $15 per ton, while the cost to mine coal was only $3 per ton. On May 4, 1911, 300 Cordova businessmen and citizens boarded ship moored dockside with coal from British Columbia and shoveled almost a ton of it into the harbor. Local citizens compared their actions to the Boston Tea Party, a political protest when angry colonial citizens dressed as Indians dumped tea overboard to protest British taxes, and called the affair the Cordova Tea Party. Wow, I like this guy even more. After demands were made to disband or be charged with rioting, the group broke up. Mayor Lathrop contacted Territory Governor Walter E. Clark, who was in Washington, D.C., to request assistance. In the days following the coal party, there was a great fear of further demonstrations. The federal government, however, did not change its coal policies. In nearby Catala, the former chief of the U.S. Forest Service, Gifford Pinchot, was reportedly burned in effigy by an angry mob. Well, you know, sometimes you got to do what you think is right. And again, back then, in 1911, we had presidents stopping our resource development. Remember Biden, the 70 presidential actions he took to stop our resource development in Alaska? Theodore Roosevelt, you're a rough rider, and now we know a little bit about your terminating Alaska coal, which made it very expensive. You had to import it from Canada. My goodness. And back then, this was a federal territory. It was all federal lands. There was no fee simple property per se. You know, you had some private property, but nothing like that. So anyway, well, Fairbanks, we're going to come up here and take a commercial break. We're looking at Phil Collins, some bumper music. It's always unique. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather. And when we come back, we'll finish up with Cap Lathrop, one of the founders, most influential people in the state of Alaska, in the Territory of Alaska, and the city of Fairbanks. We will be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump hanging out with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Turnberry, Scotland today. During a meeting, the president expressed frustration about the Russia-Ukraine war, says he's not interested in negotiating with Russian President Vladimir Putin anymore.
We have such nice conversations, such respectful and nice conversations, and then people die the following night in a with a missile going into a town and hitting, recently, I guess, the nursing home, but they hit other things.
Well, the president says he'll impose up to 100% tariffs just 10 to 12 days from today if there's no ceasefire deal before then. Football legend and Colorado Buffaloes coach Deion Sanders has beaten bladder cancer, spoke alongside doctors today, says they caught it during regular checkups.
Without wonderful people like this, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today because it grew so expeditiously, I could say.
Sanders, known as Coach Prime, says he will be coaching Colorado for a third season. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports that authorities say they disposed of roughly 50 pounds of outdated explosives discovered in a privately owned bus on property near Glen Allen last Wednesday. Alaska State Troopers said they responded to an area near mile 115 of the Richardson Highway at around 11 a.m. for a report of found explosives. FBI bomb technicians, local fire departments, and military teams also responded. The report of explosives inside a bus came from a person staying on the property where the vehicle was parked, according to Trooper spokesman Austin McDaniel. There were no injuries reported. Troopers said the response prompted periodic closures of the Richardson Highway until Wednesday evening. The FBI team conducted a controlled disposal operation of approximately 50 pounds of antiquated dynamite found inside the bus, spokesperson Chloe Martin said in an email Thursday. The FBI, working with local and state bomb technicians and public safety personnel, disposed of the dynamite by conducting a controlled burn, Martin said in a message. The FBI encourages members of the public to report outdated dynamite if you ever find any.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
All seasons are tea season, and it's time for you to explore all of the flavors at Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you're shopping for an extraordinary gift, or you crave the flavor and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're a true tea connoisseur, Sipping Streams Tea Company is perfect for you. For this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Book a Victorian tea party with your friends. Don't miss this deal for 50-50 Friday.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Attention! If you're ready for a golden opportunity, Gold Buyers of Alaska is having an exclusive silver and gold sale. Buy 500 ounces of silver for just $1 over spot price. And if you're buying over 500 ounces, you'll pay spot price. Stop into Gold Buyers of Alaska today to check out their unbeatable gold prices and make your next investment shine. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Visit them off 30th Avenue today. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
When friends and family gather, it's time to lift each other up with delicious food and beverage from Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. All their beef is certified Angus beef, making it truly the best of the best. They pride themselves on superior quality, service, and consistency. Whether it's their cowboy cut ribeyes, lamb shanks, or even their ground chuck, you know you're getting the very best in Alaska because there is no other place like this in Alaska. Stop by Tommy G's Meat and Sausage today, 3290 Pegger Road. It's no longer dinner with friends and family. It's an experience.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Did you go to the fair this weekend? It was fun for me. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at my booth for an average of 7 to 8 hours each day. My goodness. Had one fun incident. I'll classify it as a fun incident. You know, I've got a big candy jar there, a candy bowl for people to take candy if they want. And 95, 90% of the time, rather, someone takes a piece of candy and they really don't engage in conversation about me being mayor or things like that. You're just letting kids have candy and people have candy. Well, this one lady came up and she just went and she was talking to me. She goes, "I'm going to take a handful." I didn't say anything. I was sort of stunned. And man, she took a handful. I mean, a big handful. Other than her, the largest take at by one person was a kid, and he asked and he took three, and I said yeah. Then this lady said, "I'm going to take a second handful," and I said, "No, you're not." And she went to take a second handful, and as she did, I grabbed her hand, emptied the hand out, and she got mad and she asked, are you David Perez? And I said, "I'm the one and only." So anyway, she left, and about 10 minutes later security came to my booth, and she complained to security that I was roughing her up, and I laughed. So I showed security, this is what she did, with, you know, hand in the candy jar, and then the second hand in the candy jar. And I said, "I stopped a theft. Have you, if you want to press this, we're pressing it for theft." And that's where it stopped. But it was fun. It was a great 3 days that I enjoyed. On Friday I had my Navajo taco, and it was great. Yesterday, on Sunday, I had my empanadas, and oh my goodness, they are so good. They give you two items that dunk them in. So, lots of fun at the fair, many good booths, and, you know, I'll be there on and off through the week, but I'll be there a lot of, you know, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But what it does is it gives me an opportunity to try other fair foods. I always have to have my Cajun Connection, my shrimp etouffee. And when you have a food show and people know it, they're coming up to me at the fair, and I'm telling them my choices. And then they're telling me other ones that are there that are new that are fantastic. So it's a great converse of food and locations and everything like that. And then it's a lot of fun. You're going to see people at the fair that, you know, I went to first grade with, high school with, things like that. And then you're going to see neighbors you used to have, you know, 5 to 15 years ago, and you're going to see their kids on how much they've grown. You know, and this one gentleman, Charles and his wife, you know, their oldest son is in his final year at the Air Force Academy. And then their daughter, you know, she's 19, she's up at University of Alaska Fairbanks, and she's getting a degree in medical biology, and she's on the dean's list. And, you know, it's just, I'm looking at these people, and I remember them when they were 3 feet high, and now they're 5'7" to 6'2". And it's just great to see. So anyway, if you can get out to the fair, there's more than something for everyone at the fair. There is multiple things for you at the fair, be it rides, buying stuff. Right down from me is this clothing location, and they have great clothing. I mean, everyone stops at this location. They have the lighter with some hoods and stuff like that. It's a good fall type gear, spring type gear, and they just knock it out. You're going to see great personal services for them. They're a, you know, a 10x10 booth. They're not a great big one or anything like that. Maybe they're an 8x8 booth, whatever the size is. But they have these shirts and sweaters hanging outside. And they give, I mean, great personal service. You can just see it. Everyone who comes out of there, their attention to detail, it's just great to see. And anyway, so, my goodness. Now, we're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, how you doing? I saw you this weekend.
Yeah, and I saw you, too. Walked by your booth, and
you were in one, too. Good for you. Thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah, it was just a little two-hour duty that I had to occupy that booth there. I appreciate your little historical rendition of Austin E. Lathrop, Cap Lathrop.
Yeah.
But one thing you didn't mention is the tragic way he passed away.
That's yet to be brought in. Yeah, he but we're going to might as well talk about it now. He was on a crane, you know, dragging for coal, and it tipped over. He's 85 years old, and he died with his boots on working at Sultana in his coal mine, you know, and he was something else.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because I had a different impression of how he passed away, so maybe I'm wrong. But I had heard that it was basically in the same location out there near Healy someplace or other, but that he stumbled and either getting on a train or getting off a train, not a crane, a train, and got run over.
Here you go. I'll read it.
Oh, okay.
On July 26, 1950, you're more right than I am, sir. Good job. Lathrop died at the age of 84 after falling beneath the wheels of a loaded railroad car at his Healy River coal mine. Wow. Although a rich man, Lathrop did not act like one. His far-flung business enterprises. So it sounds like he either, you know, fell and died, or fell and got run over a little bit and died. But yeah, it wasn't. He wasn't draglining coal, but it was during the coal. So I'm glad you brought that up at the very end of my my research. Here was that. So
I see.
Yeah.
In any event, I'm glad I had the opportunity to go to the Lathrop High School. It was just for the 10th grade, but I'm proud that it's named after Cap Lathrop.
What year were you at Lathrop High School?
That was 71-72 school year. It was just
Didn't you guys win a state basketball championship then?
I don't remember anything about the...
I think you did. Claire Markey was the coach, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You had Steve Frank on the team. You guys had a really good basketball teams in those early 70s and late 60s. Really good basketball teams.
The only athletics I remember so very fondly was at Ryan the year before when I was in the ninth grade, playing battle ball in the gym. That was the funnest thing, of kind of a distortion of dodgeball.
Yeah. I remember doing the same thing at Maine Junior High. Then I went to Monroe, and they didn't allow that, you know. But what we would do is they'd open up the gym early before school started for about a half hour to 45 minutes. And I realize now it was a good way to have the kids get their yah-yahs out, you know, that energy out. And we'd all play battle ball. And Charlie Scott, you know, Mr. Scott, he would open it up for us all. And we'd all play battle ball and hit each other as hard as we could with those red and balls and those volleyballs.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So what booth were you at the fair this weekend?
I was at the Women's Republican Club booth.
And what did I tell you?
You said, you're not a woman, or something like that.
And then what did I say?
And you said that one time you had served in the booth, too, and you were just taking orders from the women, and that's why you did what you did.
Exactly. We're lower management.
Right. Yeah.
Did you enjoy yourself while you were there?
Yes, and since you like to talk about the culinary side, I'll tell you that I had the shish kebab.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How do you know I was going to talk about the culinary side? Oh, you know me well. So tell me about the shish kebab. What was it?
It was very good. It was on the grill there, and they plus supplement it with two little red potatoes, and it was $15 for that. And I was planning to get the turkey drumstick, but I only had, it was for $18, but I only had $20 left in my pocket. So I thought, no, I'm not going to leave myself with only $2. That would be a mistake. So I didn't get it.
Hmm.
I'll go back another day and get that.
There you go. Okay. Overall thoughts of the fair?
Oh, I always enjoy it. Went over to the animal barn and looked at the goats and the rabbits and the guinea pigs and chickens and things, and said hello to those little critters.
I've got a lot more, you know, even though I was there for 3 days, I've not walked around the fair yet.
Oh.
You know, my first day on Friday, I came out and I saw the Navajo taco. I said, okay, I'm going to knock that one out right now. And then yesterday is about 3:30, you know, I'd been there for 3 hours already, and I was going to be there until 8. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take a break here from sitting down, and I'm going to go find my my wonderful meal that I have there, and I found it, and so anyway, I've got a lot more walking around to do at that fair. Some really neat places, and I'm just starting to look at it.
Yeah, and one last thing I might mention is, and I wouldn't have thought of doing this except a lady kind of directed me to it or pointed it out. In the Coliseum building against the south wall there, there's a booth featuring compositions by some of our local students, you know, what they've written, and they have little ribbons on them if they've won a prize. And one of them, I haven't read all of them or anything by any means, but I just read a few. I'll read some later. But the one I caught my eye was about Joseph Stalin, and I learned that his original name was something else, but Stalin meant steel in Russian, and so he got to be known as Joseph Stalin. But what I was pleased about is it didn't mince words. It told what a tyrant that guy was, and it gave me faith that, well, they're learning the right things in school anyway, somewhere, wherever that was from, homeschool, I don't know for what it was.
But he had purges.
You know, murdered tons of people.
Millions upon millions. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, he purged people. They called the military class of 1932 the lucky class of 1932. Because in 1935 or 36, he did another purge of the generals and colonels. And when World War II started, everyone from the class of 32 became, you know, basically colonels and generals. if they survived the first few years of the war. But anyway.
I see.
Well, hey, I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Okay.
You have a great day, and I will talk to you later. Fairbanks, okay. We are going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did you know Alaskan teenagers can get their pilot's license in high school for free? It's true. At Gila High School in Galena, you can study aviation, cosmetology, culinary arts, welding, construction, and more. It's a residential school, and it's completely free for students, including housing, food, and even flights to and from campus. High schoolers from anywhere in Alaska are welcome to apply. To learn more and save your spot at Gila, visit gilaschool.org. That's G-I-L-A school.org.
This summer, the Tennenaw Valley State Fair is turning up the volume with a night of unforgettable country music. Thompson Square is bringing their chart-topping hits, including the fan favorite, Are You Gonna Kiss Me or Not, to the fairgrounds Saturday, August 2nd.
Gonna kiss me or not.
And they're not coming alone. James Otto joins the party, bringing that smooth country soul you love with his number one smash, Just Got Started Loving You.
You don't have to go now, honey. Call him, tell him you won't be in today.
Two incredible artists, one unforgettable night, and it's all happening at the Tennenaw Valley State Fair. This is a singer-songwriter combo in a round acoustic performance. Get your tickets now at ericksonevents.com and get ready to sing every word.
Sometimes it feels like
this is an Erickson Unlimited event.
Honey, you want to come out? I haven't seen you since Glass Doctor installed our custom shower enclosure.
No thanks.
Well, you can't keep eating breakfast in the shower. And laminating your magazines is getting expensive. You remember we have guests coming over tonight, right?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to see the shower.
It's our neighbors, and I highly doubt they want to be hanging out in our bathroom.
The shower's so good, you'll never want to leave. Visit glassdoctor.com today and schedule an appointment online.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 68. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 56. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And Dan, how dare you send me in a text form such beautiful photos of barbecue that you're looking at using as a test for your competition this Saturday at the Elks. Those baby back ribs have a perfect smoke ring, great in size, great in that middle portion will give a fantastic bite. Great job. Now, last night, you know, I had to make up some barbecue sauce, and I made a spicy cherry barbecue sauce. And that's good for, it's good for anything that, you know, any meat that you decide to cook. So that's what I did. Now, Dan, if there's one thing I would tell you about your chicken, just looking at it, try and get more conformity on how it looks when you're done cooking. You have different sizes here and the way they go. Try and get a conformity of size and shape. But it looks delicious as all get out, my God. But remember, how it looks is 25% of your score. Taste is 50% of the score. Texture is 25% of the score. So make it look good. And taste is very visual. It's in any type of food product that you're going to look at eating. If it looks good, you're saying to yourself, this is delicious, even before you taste it. So if those are my yelling at you because it looks so fantastic, all those rib racks, oh my goodness, you're a horrible person. Thank God it's right before lunch. Oh my goodness. But hey, only in Fairbanks can we do something like that. But you know, that's what it is. Anyway, now Cap Lathrop, you know, his footprint in Fairbanks compared to the rest of the state was small. You know, from 1932 to 1950, he was on the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska and was vice president of the Board of Regents during that time frame. You know, you have the Lathrop Building, which is the blue building there. It goes the Lathrop Building, the Chena Building, and the Lacey Street Theater. He had theaters in Cordova, Seward, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. And in about 2 years ago, sadly, they knocked down his building, the Anchorage Theater there on 4th Avenue. We still have the Lacey Street Theater, and I'm so happy. The owners of that, they're taking advantage of the Home Store Improvement Program, where we give matching funds that are paid after the project is over as a reimbursement, up to $50,000. Now, this is public records now, but the owners of the Lacey Street Theater, they're doing a whole retrofit outside, new paint, taking the historic the Lacey Street sign with the neon, redoing it, resanding it, repainting it, new neon, and the whole project is about $250,000. So when I was putting together the storefront improvement program, I was talking to the owners of that building 2 months prior to it even coming out. And I was saying, we're designing this program for this building. You got to do something with your building. And I'm very thankful that they did. And that, along with 8 other properties that we're investing in Fairbanks, and that the owners and the tenants are investing even more money in, that's between 1st and 4th Avenue, Noble Street, and Barnett Street. It's going to make a difference. And then next year, we're going to expand the area because had some people call up. We're going to expand it to 6th Avenue to the south, and we're going to go to the west towards all the way to Cowles. That way, more businesses can participate in this. And then in the third year of the program, I think I'm going to include all of Cushman Street, maybe all the first time all the way down to Gaffney, and then after that from Airport Road all the way down Cushman Street, because we got such a good response with people wanting to invest money and fix up their property. And that's what we've really done over the last 2 years here in Fairbanks. We've cleaned up a lot of sites, made Fairbanks nicer looking. The issue now is building back on a lot of vacant sites in the city of Fairbanks in the downtown area, stuff like that. So we're working on that. That's next. Clean up what you have. Keep what is good. Get rid of those dilapidated and derelict properties. We're doing that. And then rebuild upon them good, nice properties. And so that's always been my overall thought. And, oh, Dan, you just texted me. Oh, okay. Well, we all, sir, my friend, we all do better on second and third round, so keep practicing on your chicken. But you're very, very talented. What are you going to do for your chef choice? That's what you got chicken and ribs, and then the third entrance is a chef's choice. Dan, you're going to do well in this. You know, that's right. He just texted me. He's texting me while I'm talking to him on the air. He's going to do lamb, like he said. That should be fun. Well, anyway, we've got about 3 minutes left before I'm off the air for a couple months. We have some very good guest hosts for you. The first few days will be Jen Uhas. And the second and the fourth Wednesday of every month, we're going to continue with Nick Nugent and Joni Skillbred. Joni Skillbred will be on Wednesday along with Jen. And then Friday we have Aaron Lajewski. He's going to be the guest host here, and he's probably going to talk about he's going to talk about his new political party that he had certified with the state of Alaska. And it should be exciting to see what the basis of their beliefs, their thoughts, he was a two-term borough assembly member, and he ran for state house as a Republican. So it's going to be interesting to see what their credo is on this new party, some Libertarian, some Republican, some Independence Party, some Alaskan Independence Party, things like that. And it should be good. And really looking forward to hearing, how he went about this. He started a new political party here in state of Alaska. That just doesn't happen. Good on. Kudos to you, Aaron Lajewski. My goodness. So anyway, I'll be making schedules of guest hosts every 3 weeks, and we have Craig Compo, Jen Uhas, Mike Prox, and Aaron Lajewski, who are the four right now, and they understand how to run the board. They put up with the purple padded room very well. They understand what can happen with North Korean equipment. So they're well schooled in this. It should be interesting with Representative Mike Prox, because he might be in Juneau for a segment amount of time because of the special session that's going on down there. So there's all these interesting items in this equation that I must work with in regards to getting people as guest hosts here. And anyway, Melissa Burnett, she's signed on, so she can't be a guest host. She's running for re-election, and hopefully she gets re-elected. But anyway, I'll be seeing you on October 8th, and hopefully I'm successful for my re-election. You guys have a great day. It's been a pleasure, and I will see you on October 8th.